Right now, let me go to the hotline, and joining me is Democratic strategist and host of the Your Presidential Playlist podcast, Emily Tisch Sussman, who's going to talk a little bit about the 2020 election. Lots to sift through here. Emily, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Ryan.
So let me start with what everybody, I think, is interested in at the moment, and that is who Joe Biden is going to pick as his running mate. We might know as soon as next week. There have been some conflicting reports there. You actually sat down with one candidate who seems to be pretty high up on the list, and it's someone from here in the state of Florida, Representative Val Demings. So tell me a little bit about what you discussed with her and what stood out to you about her, why she might make a good pick, or maybe not so much.
Well, what's been so interesting about this year, besides everything in this presidential race, but what's been so interesting about the choosing of the vice presidential running mate is that people are basically auditioning out and open. This is something that we really haven't seen before. In past years, there's always a little bit of, oh no, you know, I'm happy in my seat, but if I were so chosen, right? Like a little bit of like push the hand, but come hither here. This year, people are just right out in the open showing why they have the right credentials. It actually started really many, many months ago. I'd say almost a year ago with Stacey Abrams right from the beginning saying, I'd love to be, if I'm not going to be the president, I'd love to be the vice presidential nominee. And people were a little bit surprised by that, but I think it really opened the door. And I think especially because of COVID, which means that Biden really hasn't had the opportunity to sit down one-on-one with people quite as much, that there's, and he can't really see them out in a crowd, like see how they, you know, a crowd reacts to them. So these press kits have become increasingly important for the women who are being considered. And that includes Congresswoman Demings. So, you know, she's really trying to put forward that she has like the right background, the right experience, both as a lead in the House investigations on the impeachment hearings against President Trump, also in her background in law enforcement, showing that she really has the right credentials for this moment and to be his partner.
It's been fascinating to see Val Demings rise in this race. She was a name that we were talking about here on this show a while back around the time of the impeachment hearings when she was center stage. And then all of a sudden you have this social justice movement that really kicks into gear after the death of George Floyd. And there's certainly a lot of pressure on Joe Biden to pick an African-American woman for this position. And she has that law enforcement background, maybe somebody to bridge the gap between the protesters and law enforcement. So she became a really unique candidate, but it also appears to be some of that law enforcement background that may cause her some problems. Is that what you're hearing, or is that something that you would be concerned about?
I think that's absolutely right. I think that's true for her. And I think it also cuts both ways for another front runner, Senator Kamala Harris, as having that background as the attorney general, as a prosecutor. You know, a lot of what Joe Biden is hoping to bring with his pick, as he had said during the primary in the debate with Bernie Sanders, that he's going to pick a woman as his running mate. And then to exactly your point with a lot of the protests around Black Lives Matter, it became pretty clear that he would have a real upside for him to be choosing a woman of color, particularly a Black woman. And part of the reason that he wanted to make sure that he was picking both a woman and a person of color is because we don't have a long bench. There's still been like a real glass ceiling in politics for people to really break out, obviously with the notable exception being President Obama. But beyond that, we really don't have a lot of people of color in very serious executive positions. Florida actually did have the opportunity in the last governor's race with Andrew Gillum, but he ultimately didn't make it, which means that it's great for opportunity. But it also means it's a pretty short list of people women who are really ready to take on the task because they haven't had that executive experience. And so Joe Biden is looking to, but he really is looking to people who have governed before. That is something that the vice president cares very deeply about. His real job in the Obama administration in the White House was to be managing Congress and get legislation through. So he wants to make sure the person he picks as vice president is ready to have a very substantive role in his administration. And look, he's already signaled he may not want to serve two terms. So he really would be setting up the next presidential nominee on the Democratic ticket.
We're talking to Democratic strategist and host of the Your Presidential Playlist podcast, Emily Tisch Sussman, here on PM Tampa Bay, doing a little preview of the 2020 election. And that's really why this pick seems to be more important than usual. There's always a lot of excitement around who the running mate might be, and a lot of speculation and a lot of hype. But then at the end of the day, it's really not something voters pay a lot of attention to. This time around, though, with Joe Biden, his age, this is a significant choice. And I think this might weigh, especially the moment that we're in, depending on who he picks. It certainly seems like among the insider class that Kamala Harris could be the favorite, particularly because of how they think she does in debates. Maybe that would be a moment for her going up against the Vice President Mike Pence, maybe having her out there, you know, doing some speeches, taking the case to President Trump like she said she wanted to do. Would you put her as the potential front runner right now?
Yes and no. I think she has been the front runner. I think there's a lot of upside to her. She has that real prosecutorial nature. She really thrives in an environment where she can stick it to someone. We see that over and over again in judiciary hearings in the Senate. She does an excellent job there. I think that if he was going to pick her, he would have announced her by now. In my opinion, with every passing day, it feels like the field stays a little bit wider than just her. So I tend to think that she was the front runner. Biden was kind of parading around, I think it was yesterday, with some notes that reporters got pictures of, notes about Harris. I mean, did that kind of feel a little staged? That maybe didn't feel
a little bit
authentic.
right, a little bit.
Wagging. Yeah, he's trying to find a way to break through Trump's headlines.
The one thing that I think would work in Kamala Harris's favor as a running mate that she really struggled with during the primary process, it was very difficult to get a sense as to what she stood for and where she stood on certain issues and being the vice president. That would all be provided for her, basically. Like, here's the platform. Here's what we're running on. You know, don't stray off of this. This is the plan. So that might make it easier on her to a certain extent. Would you agree with something like that?
I think that's a great point. She's not setting a ton of the policy. That's the president that's setting the policy. The DNC, the Democratic Party, gives indications of what they want the president to be running on. And that's been going through a process between representatives from the Biden camp and from the Sanders camp. And they've been coming together in the Unity Task Force, coming up with some bigger ideas than Biden had necessarily been running on. But ultimately, it's up for Biden to choose his platform. So she really could be out there. But look, to your earlier point, the vice president kind of gets our tongues wagging, but doesn't really move a lot of voters. It's, you know, the notable exception being Sarah Palin kind of ended up outshining John McCain in 2008. But other than that, it's sort of interesting to talk about the vice presidential nominee. Doesn't move a ton of votes, although this year, Biden really is setting up who could be like the next leader of the party. So it does feel slightly more consequential, whether that actually earns him actual votes, gets him a little more enthusiasm than people who are just wanting to vote against Trump. That has yet to be seen.
Well, and that's why the Val Demings pick would be interesting, because she is a Florida congresswoman, and Florida is a state that certainly the Biden campaign wants to pick up. It'd be very difficult, if not impossible, for President Trump to win re-election if Florida went to Joe Biden. Before we switch gears to a couple of other topics I want to run through with you, one other name I have to toss out. This was a name that I had kind of floated very early on, too. I thought it was an intriguing potential runner-up for Joe Biden. And it's also somebody that I followed when I was in Chicago for a couple of years, and that would be Tammy Duckworth. And she certainly got her moment in the sun recently in her battle with Tucker Carlson. She's got, you know, her military experience. What do you think about her as a potential pick?
You've been picking good people early on. Your picks have really been emerging.
Who knew?
She was definitely kind of a late person to start being named. But I think she's up there. I think she's definitely still in consideration. You know, to your point, she does have excellent military service, was the secretary of the VA, so has administrative experience there, has two young children, one that she had when she was serving in the House, one that she had as serving in the Senate. double amputee. Like, she really understands a lot of issues that a lot of Americans are facing really very viscerally firsthand, all including having grown up in poverty. And so I think that she would make an excellent running mate. The sparring with Tucker Carlson is so interesting because that's part of that, like, auditioning in public. Like, you wouldn't expect somebody who is in the last phases of vice presidential vetting to be taking on one of the most popular talk show hosts in America. I mean, you know, kind of like, who cares what a talk show host thinks? You care what the vice president thinks, you know? But she went right into it to show, this is how tough I am, and this is how I take on, this is how I take on the haters. And I think she came out very well in it.
Yeah, I thought she, I'll be honest with you, I thought she stepped in it with her comments on George Washington and just the way she answered that question originally and some of the founding fathers. But then I thought at the end of it, once the battle had taken place between her and Tucker Carlson, I thought in terms of a potential pick for Joe Biden, I thought she actually came out ahead. And last point, which kind of ties into just this race and trying to figure out how it's going to play out for Democrats. All the names that we've talked about, Kamala Harris, Val Demings, Tammy Duckworth, all those big names. Susan Rice is another one that's being tossed around, although I would be surprised if Joe Biden went that direction, but who knows. None of them are like Elizabeth Warren. None of them are of the Bernie Sanders wing of the party. They're all more moderate. Do you think that helps, or could that cause some problems for Joe Biden in the general election?
Well, I'll also actually put Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan in that final list. I think she's still in the running. Look, I think Biden has a unique challenge in where he pulls in, when he brings in his votes this cycle. He actually has a pretty solid, he's doing better with moderate, independent people in the middle, what would be considered like swing voters. Yeah. He does very well. People are pretty solidly for him. People, even many people who voted for Trump in 2016, are now regretting it and feel very solidly against Trump and therefore for Biden. I think that he does, the place that is going to be the biggest challenge for him is picking up young people and very liberal. People who feel like the system is so broken, there is no point for them to be opting into it. And so that, I think, is the challenge for him. So I think, you know, he has an opportunity with his vice presidential pick. It may not end up being somebody who appeals to the very, you know, to very liberal and to young people. And so they're going to have to make it up in other ways. That's where your staff really comes in and tries to translate. I've seen some very interesting polling on young people, how they can actually be moved pretty quickly towards Biden, but not if you oversell him. If you try to oversell him as a liberal hero, then they don't trust the message at all. But if you say, look, he's not Bernie, but he'll get you some good policies, then people can actually move quite a few points pretty quickly.
We're talking to Democratic strategist and host of the Your Presidential Playlist podcast, Emily Tisch Sussman, here on PM Tampa Bay. You took a look at a couple of different swing states and talked to some people on the ground here. And I will tell you, in Florida, you know, these polls that have Biden up 13 or what, I mean, it's just nonsense. This is not one of those states. It's going to be a close race. It always is. And the ground organization, you know, Republicans, they run this state and they have for a long time. They've got a good ground organization. When you talk to some people from here in the state of Florida about how they're planning to pull it off in November, what stood out to you?
Republicans, particularly Trump Republicans, have been organizing in Florida from day one. I think there's a pretty significant advantage there. It also really matters in a swing state which party is governing. So the fact that there is a Republican governor running the state actually really does matter for a lot of reasons. You have somebody who's a very known figure out in the state being able to campaign. They have sway over, you know, not jurisdiction necessarily, but potentially sway over the way that that local election officials administer their polling sites. So there's a lot of advantage there for Republicans. I think that Trump is continuously, through polling, Trump is continuously losing support with his base. And a lot of that is older voters, very consistent voters, but they're very concerned about the way that he is handling the COVID-19 pandemic, and the governor is not helping him there. He basically looks like, you know, they're, I'm going to screw up the term, the lockstep in holding hands. But, you know, they look like they are there together in this plan. And so, look, Trump controls every media narrative. It's hard to really control a media narrative away from him. And that is doubly true in Florida, considering the governor was so out in front saying, you know, I'm with him and I'm on his plan with him, especially in COVID-19.
And then when it comes to the voters who are going to decide this election, you know, you mentioned senior voters, and that's certainly one of the numbers that I've been keeping a close eye on, especially here in Florida, and some of the support moving away from President Trump should concern the Trump campaign. I don't necessarily think that's not a voting block that he can get back, but he certainly needs to start doing it sooner rather than later. But women, and especially suburban women, and you've seen it, what's the best way to put this? You've certainly seen the president trying to focus on suburban women with some recent tweets. I don't know how effective those tweets will be, but that's definitely who he's targeting. So suburban women, both parties seem to know that is a key, if not the key, to winning this election.
Absolutely. White suburban women in particular. I saw one great article that said, you know, usually politicians just go for a dog whistle, but in this case, Trump stood on the porch and said, "Hey, Fido," towards suburban women. But there it is.
It was an interesting approach today.
A very interesting approach through his tweets. He's saying directly that under a Biden administration that the suburbs would be destroyed. I mean, he knows he can't lose them. He really can't. And that's actually in some ways why 2018 midterm voter turnout is actually more informative than 2016 presidential information about turnout, where votes are, comparisons to polling. Because Trump won white suburban women in 2016. They were willing to give him a chance. They didn't like his attitude, but they were willing to give him a chance. But then in 2018, they were decisively against him. And that, I mean, every congressional district, that is true all over the state of Florida, in the Keys, just above, like, you know, that is all over Florida, that is true in congressional districts. That the local Democrat running for Congress, like, really tried to make it about their local issues and really tried to make it about healthcare, much to, you know, I give them credit for it. But ultimately, people wanted a check on Trump. And nowhere that was more true with any demographic than white suburban women. And so they're not, Republican and independent white suburban women. Like, these are not just Democrats. They are not just voting for Democrats. They are actually working and organizing against Trump. So I do think that'll be an incredibly informative. So it's not that surprising that today he was doing a little here fight out trying to bring him back.
Yeah. Clearly there is a strategy there. It's the tactic that I'm not sure about, to put it mildly. It was certainly interesting to see those tweets roll out. Democratic strategist and host of the Your Presidential Playlist podcast, Emily Tisch Sussman. Some really great elected officials. The list of guests for this podcast just looks tremendous, including, of course, Representative Val Demings. Emily, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on.